Tyler, how did the Numbers and Nameless tour go for Absence of Despair?
Well, that tour went awesome. Everything from the turnouts of the shows to no van troubles, no promoter troubles. Everything just went really good and successful.
Nice. Was that where the crowd's pretty good and everybody's in line and everything? And
what was that?
Was the crowd good and everybody well behaved and all that other stuff?
Yeah, just about every crowd, you know, was amazing. Turnouts were great. We played a lot of markets that we've played in the past tours, and it really just goes to show that, repetition, like keep hitting the same places, you know, over time it builds up bigger fan bases and stuff.
Nice. Now, what's an Absence of Despair crowd like? Do you have like the wild crowd or the more subdued crowd, or what? What's the atmosphere like?
Most of the time, our crowd, it changes, like, you know, every place we go, but most of the time, we got an energetic style of music. So, most of the time we got a pretty wild crowd, a lot of moshing and stuff like that.
Nice. Now let's talk about your new, your EP and your latest single and lyric video, Monster Reborn. What was the songwriting process like with that from start to finish? Because you have such a unique sound to you. I mean, I know a lot of people will say, they're metal, they're hardcore, but you guys sound like you take a lot of time and energy crafting not only your music but your tone and your sound.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when it comes to writing, what we like to do, like, you know, throughout the year, like before we actually sit down to like write for the new record, we like usually all write on our own a little bit, you know, just toss around ideas, and then when it comes time to actually writing, we make sure, like, you know, we're not touring or anything, so we have like all the time to just focus on the writing. So what we'll do, like, we'll take our ideas together when we're jamming, and then play them together, and, you know, whatever ones we seem to like and like the most and collaborate on, we take it from there, really.
Nice. Now, being a guitarist myself, I've got to ask you, you and Dylan have like a monster tone together. I mean, yeah, it's combined. I mean, I've always been in one guitar band, so I've never had the luxury of a second guitarist, but you being in a two guitar band, is that something you have to coordinate with the other guitarist concerning tone, you know, so it doesn't sound so muddy, and then types of things to play, and also does it give you more freedom as a lead guitarist to explore?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, with tone wise, you got to have two, like, for live purposes, you know, each guitarist has to have, you know, a really good sounding tube head, but, like, ones that can, like, mesh together. And, you know, one, we usually, like, with us, like, I play lead, so what I'll do is I'll usually have, like, you know, a higher mid-range, tiny bit more gamey tone, you know, just so it cuts through the mix a little more. And Dylan will have, like, a little bit more of a scoop tone and warmer sound since his is more rhythm. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's how our tone goes and everything for us.
Now, what kind of gear are you using?
Me, I'm using a Bogner Ubershall head, and then for a cab, I'm using Aftershock cabs. They're a fairly newer custom cab company from Florida. So like in that cab, I have like, it's pretty much, I have the same setup of a Bogner Ubershall cab in that cab. So I have like a GT1275 one speaker, and then Flesh and V30 and the other, and I have them in an X pattern. So you get like, you know, your lows are the lowest of the lows and your highs are the highest. And Dylan, he uses a Marshall JCM 2000 head and matching Marshall 1960 cab.
Nice. So you really do get a touch of modern and a touch of classic sounds mixed together with Absence of Despair then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm a big tone head. We both are. You know, I'm not into like the super high gain, just like muddy tone. I'd rather have like, you know, a little less gain just so like the notes are clear and, you know, like the guitar more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Now, what about guitar and pickup wise?
For me, I use Schecter guitars. I always use Schecter mainly. So, right now my main guitar is a Schecter. Oh, what's your name? The newer one. the Schecter Avenger S, I think it's called. So it's a, ebony fretboard, three-piece mahogany body. And for pickups, I'm using the new Seymour Duncan Nazgul pickup, and it's just like a really crunchy pickup. I use that in the bridge, and then for the neck, I use a Sustainiac pickup, which is
Fernandez. Awesome. I love that. I got one of those a couple years ago, and I'm hooked, man. It's just I will not install it myself.
Yeah, I use it. You know, Schecter's one of the only companies that actually makes guitars with the Sustainiac system in it. So, that's a big plus. And I use that a lot in all the solos and stuff and lead work. And, I just switch to different harmonic modes and stuff. It's real fun.
Mm-hmm. And what about Dylan? What's he use guitar-wise?
Dylan's using his main guitar is the Ibanez Prestige.
Nice.
And I'm not 100% which pickups are in it exactly, but they are Seymour Duncan's. But that's got a real crunchy tone to it.
Ibanez, man, you got to love those wizard necks, man. I mean, they're awesome.
Oh, yeah, Prestiges are awesome, for sure.
Exactly. Now, one final guitarist question, because I get in a lot of verbal fights with other guitarists about this. So I want to know, your opinion on this. As far as effects go, rack mount or pedals, and why?
Well, actually, I've always used stomp boxes, but I have all of my stomp boxes in my rack unit on my case. So I have the GCX audio switcher and the Voodoo Labs ground control. So pretty much what that does for me is all I have to do is press one button and it'll turn on whatever pedals I want and change the channel on my amp without having to tap dance and everything.
Oh, nice, man. I mean, I bet you don't have to watch where you're stepping around either doing that.
Yeah, no, just, click one button. Then, I can have up to 30 something different banks of combinations that I want too. So.
Nice. Personally, I've always liked stomp boxes too myself. I've had rack units, and I'll admit that rack units are great on the road because they're all contained, and then you can just wheel the whole case around and not worry about everything.
Yeah.
But I personally I always thought stomp boxes sounded better.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's why I have all mine in my rack. So I'm using stomp boxes, but, I can just press one button and have whatever one goes on.
Exactly. So, well, let's talk about Monster Reborn. We talked about the songwriting process and everything like that. How was the recording sessions like? Because the reason I ask is because a lot of times when songwriters and bands in particular that write their own songs, go into the recording process, the songs will almost always inevitably change, sometimes to the point where they're unrecognizable when compared to the original vision. How is that in reference to Monster Reborn?
Well, Monster Reborn, we spent, a lot of time on just trying to pretty much produce the songs as much as we could before we hit the studio, just chopping this, adding different dynamics, really focused on bringing the most produced product to the studio. That way, with the producer, we can make it even better. So, what we did, we spent a lot of time on them, nitpicking every detail. So once we got to the studio and everything, we recorded at Spider Studios with Tony Gamalo. He's done Chimera CDs or Dice Today. He's an awesome producer. So, some of the songs, we would have Monster Reborn, actually. That actually had a long intro to it. It was 40 seconds, I think. And, record it like that, whatever. And then, as we were, doing the producing part of it, our producer was like, hey, check this out. Tell me if you guys like it. And he just cut out the whole intro that we already recorded and everything.
Oh, and that must have hurt.
Hide now. it did at first. We were like, wait, I don't know how it's going to sound. Then you hit play, and it starts in just as high here now on the CD, and we're like, wow, that hits 10 times harder now.
Man. Yeah. And it's cool that you guys are open to stuff like that from external people, especially people with influence. Because I've seen bands where they're so insistent on either leaving something in or taking something out that actually hurts the song when you do it, and they just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much with us, we're really open musicians, all in all. That's why, any CD, we make, the other one's always going to sound different. It's not going to be the exact same style. And with producing stuff, our producer, he had a really good resume, catalog of all the bands he's done. So, we kind of went with the instinct to, trust his word and just be always open to try new things. Whether we change something or leave it, we're always the first ones to say, all right, let's try it, change, and then compare it and see what's better.
Now, with what you just said in mind, personally, what is your favorite track on Monster Reborn and why?
I enjoy them all. I mean, my favorite, it's real hard to pick a favorite, but Monster's just a great song. In general, it hits hard to move for the CD. I really like Number the Nameless a lot. It's fun to play live and it's got a catchy chorus. But We Will Become probably has the most meaning. That one was mainly about, just people, talking about us and stuff, and people always telling us, you're not gonna succeed as a band, all that stuff. And that's our song pretty much is just like, a big fuck you, and like, we're gonna do what we want,
You know what's funny? I hear a lot of bands, like up and coming bands, and even globally or nationally signed artists that I've interviewed all say that they had people in the beginning that would pull that shit. And why do you think that is?
Most of the time it's because, one, people don't like to see other people do big things most of the time if they're not doing big things in their life. And it's a real hard business to break into, but and most bands, don't end up like taking it to the next level, simply just because, take a lot of dedication and sacrifices in life with money, relationships, jobs, everything. And, not everybody's always down for that. So people just assume.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, you really have to show that you're the better man or the better person to just let that, go. But also, I could tell you a lot of bands that I've talked to, they had the, including yourself, have the best revenge, which is called success.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody who's ever, doubted us, we always take that. We don't get like butthurt about it. We take that and use it as fuel to, drive us farther. Just to prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, what's the feedback you've gotten on Monster Reborn so far?
Monster has had excellent feedback from, just about everybody we showed it to. Whether you like heavy, like brutal metal, there's some parts in like some of the songs where you got those heavy breakdowns, but then, some people like singing and stuff, and then like songs like Numbered that has like a really catchy, poppy, upbeat, chorus. So, it's got everything for like everybody. There's a bunch of different influences in it. You can hear it. So
yeah, it seems pretty diverse. I got the feeling that, okay, if you just heard one, when I heard it, that if you heard just one song, you're not really gonna get the gist of the group.
Yeah, you gotta listen to, start to finish, because there's a lot of eclectic, different styles in it. So
mm-hmm. Now, I know earlier we talked about if you could pick one song that was your favorite, what would it be? What's your favorite song to play live?
Favorite song to play live is definitely Monster Reborn and Number the Nameless. Those are my two favorite ones. They're both equal what I like a lot. So
nice. Now you're also going to be going back on the road, correct? What when and where?
We're not announcing it yet. We're not allowed to until next week, but it's with a really awesome band from the Midwest. Can't say the name yet, but it's going to be about a 3-week run, just pretty much shows every single day. It's going to be through the Midwest, South, all the way to Texas, and then East Coast and back. So it's a pretty good one. So we're going to be releasing that, I believe, in a week or so.
Nice. So, now, I knew we couldn't talk about it, but I thought I'd create a little tension there, because it always makes the interview interesting, because I was waiting for you to say, whoa, dude, I thought we agreed, and then everybody's on Twitter like, holy shit, man, because that's how you promote, man, sometimes,
Yeah, definitely. Have
so, but you're also coming out with a new lyric video, correct?
Yeah, we're going to be releasing Deceiver. That's our newest single from the CD. That's going to be released Tuesday via Blank TV and I think Substream. They're releasing it as well. So we'll post more details online about it, but that's going to be Tuesday.